Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's talk about talking.
Shut up, you idiot, loser, sellout.
Wow, this is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've noticed conversations about virtually anything can be rather acrimonious these days, and I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about inside the church. If anybody disagrees about virtually anything, yikes, the conversations can become so divisive. Neil Shenvey, perhaps that name rings a bell, writing an article called Talking About Race in 2024, he was the fellow who probably did, well, there were others, but he did a magnificent job in helping us get CRT, critical race theory, when it was first introduced to public consciousness about 5 years ago. Been going on in academia for decades, but all of a sudden we're hearing all of these words, the hegemony and the oppression of different people. What is all of this? Neil Shenvey was very helpful, and he was noticing as of late that the ability for anti-woke people, that is not a pejorative, it is simply a descriptor for those of us who are opposed to CRT, you would be considered anti-woke. Now, I suspect these days that term probably has baggage, which is one of our challenges when it comes to even conversing about these subjects. I personally don't think anti-woke is a negative thing. I think it's a perfectly fine descriptor. Maybe there are folks out there who use it in a different way for our purposes. You're just opposed to CRT. And he noticed that this group of people, of whom I am one, are getting increasingly less able, perhaps, to have any sort of sharing of ideas. And he explains the reason for that, that people who are against CRT hear anything that isn't quite right and basically go to a 10. And perhaps you've experienced that. You've been on the receiving end, or perhaps you've been the one who feels that way. Somebody brings up a subject, a political issue, what candidate you're going to vote for, and it just, yeah, you just, yeah. Yeah, wait a second. What are you saying with that? And I see it regularly. And Neil Shenvey, I think, put his finger on the pulse of it in this article about conversations about race that I believe has a broader application for us, so that you and I can be ones who are actually capable of having a conversation. I know that word is loaded with luggage, but that we can actually engage somebody for a sharing of ideas in an effort to try to persuade somebody of our position. How do we do that when these days it's really hard to say and hear virtually anything? So here's what Neil Shenvey did. He noticed about a year ago that he was receiving pushback for his writings on CRT, not from the woke, but the anti-woke. And people were saying, you've changed, that he was now a mushy third way moderate, woke adjacent, or even a secret progressive. Highly unlikely based on all of the work that he has done on this subject. So something has changed, he thought. And I'm sure he was open to, have I changed? Have I compromised in some way? I'm sure he didn't overlook that. But he decided to try an experiment. Here's what he did. He started to post some quotes. So here, for instance, was his first quote that he published, posted on January 1st. Now, you see what you think of it. Here's the quote. How do you respond to this? Quote, racism is a sin rooted in pride and malice, which must be condemned and renounced by all who would honor the image of God in all people. You'd go, what? I think that you would affirm that statement, but was there anything in there that bothered you? Well, it bothered a lot of people. Here are some of the responses. Define racism. okay. Well, you know, having a haughty attitude about somebody. Well, but that's not how they use racism. So when you say racism is bad, the meaning that progressives have used for racism, that it's only the oppressed who can experience racism from the oppressor, but the oppressed themselves can't be racist because they're oppressed. It's only the oppressor who can be racist. If that's what you mean, you're wrong, pal. In fact, that's what somebody said. Quote, wrong. You might be gaslighting. In group preference is displayed by every single race on earth. It is always normal, godly, and noble, except when people do it. According to the world system, we're not supposed to be taking our cues from. Here's another one. Universalist twaddle was one of the quotes. This is what makes this response so interesting. You probably don't recognize that quote, but it was from a document written in 2017 by John MacArthur, Bodie Bauckham, and a number of other theologians. It was the Dallas Statement on Race. And when it was published, people were like, whoa, that's like really aggressive. Now, just what, 7 years later? That's squishy. That's compromised. And the reason people perceive that is because in culture, the word racism, the incorrect definition of it, the unbiblical definition of it, has won the day. And so when you talk about racism today, it means something different than it did 7 years ago. And we need to be mindful of that. Here's another. So then a week later, he quoted this. This is what he posted. I utterly repudiate sinful ethnic partiality in all its forms. Now, you need to know that that came from the Statement on Christian Nationalism and the Gospel. That was written by Christian nationalists. I actually have that document on my desk. Nevertheless, these are not people who are woke. Let's just leave it at that. Here's the responses. Stunning. Brave. Publicly self-congratulating one's righteousness avails nothing for God's kingdom. Luke 18. I don't repudiate ethnic partiality. What in the world? That statement is not wrong. But because the culture has done such a bang-up job of imposing CRT worldview on all of us, we've gotten extremely defensive. And I'm not saying it's wrong. The point is that culture has caused us to respond in such a way because we see the semantic shell game that is being played. And he goes on to say, I've got four reasons why I think that this is happening. And this is worthy of our consideration because, look, we deal with these issues all the time. Whatever the latest church big story is, the breaking story, how are we supposed to respond? What are we supposed to do with? This is now being taught. This is what's happening at an institution. So here's his four reasons. One is CRT itself. That CRT, the word racism, has lost a shared meaning. The new shared meaning is that you've got to be an oppressor in order to be racist. So that's one reason racism has won the day. Number two, politics. If you ever these days in the political realm criticize anything on the right, you just join Marie Antoinette up there on the platform to get your head chopped off. It can't be done. Especially in talking about, well, I can think of one political candidate. You say anything somewhat critical, like it appears that he is promoting an abortion position that is not pro-life. And you say that, and it's like, boom, off with your head. Why spend any time punching to the right? Yeah, racism is bad, but we're not in danger of neo-Nazis becoming a local a country commissioner, let alone a senator or the president. The greatest threat is wokeism. So don't you be critical of anything on the right. And we can do that in the church, can't we? We're trying to defend biblical conservatism. And if you ever offer, if you any sort of, hey, well, you know, maybe in this we could take a look out. You're Russell Moore. You're David French. He cites context. A statement like racism must be rejected, might mean one thing from a conservative and something entirely different from a progressive. That's true, isn't it? And then finally, he actually cites, and we just need to be aware that this is an option, now that increasingly there might be people who are becoming racist, honestly, because of what they're feeling, how they're being made to feel, how they're being made to think about themselves. It's actually causing the very thing that CRT is intended to do, to pit us against one another so that we will tear everything down. What do we do with all of that? What do we do with all of that? I think there's two lessons. Number one, how do we hold our conservative principles and still be willing to be critical of ourselves? That ain't easy, and it's harder than ever. Number two, how do we have a communication, a conversation with somebody these days with words ever changing? I think the answer is we don't. We need an outside referee. We need to use the Bible. So if we're going to engage on this subject or any other subject, specifically a theological subject, all the lingo has to go flying out the window, and we need to let the Bible speak. This is Wretched Radio.
Have you ever wondered how you can share a little hope with the world? What Time Is Purple is more than just a question, and it's yours to give absolutely free. For our international family, we're ready to ship pallets or half pallets directly to you. You just have to make sure your pre-orders are in by April 1st. And for our domestic listeners, from cases to full pallets, you can order now at wretched.org/purple while supplies last. Let's cover the world in purple together again.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. We appreciate you when you tune in and listen every day. We appreciate you when you visit our website and purchase our resources. And we appreciate you when you reach into your pocket, pull out your hard-earned money, and donate to this ministry. If you haven't become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider doing so. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Forget global warming. Our temperatures are going up. This is Wretched Radio. We are being told by green people that the oceans are going to start bubbling. Well, let's forget the planet for a moment and let's talk about God's highest order of creation that inhabit the planet and talk about our temperatures, because I don't know about you, but these days it's a lot easier to get agitated about stuff that heretofore probably wouldn't get up your nose, but now it does. Neil Shenvey, writing about this subject of discussing race and that the language change in our society about the meaning of words and the agendas that are so often baked into those words has caused all of us to develop such a sensitivity about anybody saying something in a way that perhaps possibly might be loaded with some sort of negative meaning, that we just get agitated a lot. Have you noticed that? Has your radar gotten set higher? Now, even as I say this, my radar is so high on this stuff. Even as I say it, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I'm sounding like a compromiser here. I think that's exactly the point, that we are able to engage on these subjects and respond to one another inside the church. Let the world do what the world is going to do inside of the church in such a way that I don't just automatically raise a Spock eyebrow. What? I think that sounded like a quote from Your Best Life Now. What are you doing in this church? Do you feel that way sometimes? Jimmy, am I the only one that has a sensitivity toward that? I think no. Neil Shenvey is onto something.
Yeah, I think he is too.
And I do believe that the solution to this problem is that you and I stop talking and let the Bible do the speaking. And I'm thinking about Daryl Harrison. I don't know if you recall Daryl, who is no longer at Grace to You. I just learned that recently. Decides to go from a parachurch ministry to church ministry. Oh, wait a second. That is the better move. And we should applaud anybody who decides, you know what, I'm going to put all of my energy into a local church. That's just sweet. Because remember, I know perhaps sometimes the opposite impression is given, but the local church is more important than any parachurch ministry. And I mean anyone. I don't care which one you are most fond of. And we're one. We've got great relations with others. We Tomorrow Clubs and the Masters Academy International. We're all parachurch. Now, hopefully, we are doing our ministry efforts in support of the local church, which all of these ministries that we're associated with absolutely do. But even so, they're not as important as the authentic entity of the local church. That's God's only, it doesn't mean we can't be doing parachurch. Obviously, I think that. But the local church is God's only authorized place of spiritual growth. Yep, you can get it elsewhere. That's the place. That's fertilizer center. You want to grow? Get yourself into a local church. Start serving there. I got to tell you, Jimmy, I am so excited about this. I think that this might become one of our things. Churches sometimes will become so obsessed with something, it kind of becomes their thing. And that can sometimes be bad, but sometimes it can actually be helpful so that everybody like hears the message of it. And this is kind of the way we function around here. And I do believe this emphasis is really biblical. I'm thinking of Titus chapter 2. What do we see? Older, younger, that the Bible doesn't have any problem with identifying people of different ages and recognizing that there's different levels of maturity. So here's what you got with the gray hairs. Boatloads of experience, maturity, and wisdom. Here's what you got with the young folks. Empty boats. Now, what do we do about this? Do we put all the empty boats together and let them just bump up against each other going, so how do you think, what are you doing? How does this work? Where are you going to school? What is it like to be married in your home? And instead, we put them together and we let the gray hairs take all of that wisdom and download it so that the younger people can gain from the wisdom that was so hard earned by the people who probably lived through it. And we're going to be stressing that a lot in our church, so that the gray hairs and the not gray hairs are put together in order to be discipled. And here's the tricky part. I don't think we're going to have any problem with the gray hairs. They're going to be like, wait, what? You actually want me to be involved? You want me to share my... But wait a second. The kids these days, they don't want to hear it. And that, I think, is going to be the challenge. Persuading younger people, start participating in this, whether it's a Bible study, whether it is an in-home sort of study, a young marrieds group, whatever. Let the gray hairs teach you. You'll actually learn. You'll save yourself some pain. You say, well, you're just saying that because you've got gray hair. Well, not much. My beard, I grant you, that's a different story. But the Bible, Proverbs, talks about the wisdom and letting wisdom that has been gained be downloaded to those who just don't have it because they haven't lived as long. If you're 25, you're 25 years old, and you are told, hey, why don't you talk to that 50-year-old? You're probably inclined to go, rather not. I'm doing okay. That 50-year-old has lived as many adult years as you've been alive. They've got to know more, and it's okay. This isn't about better, but we shouldn't blanch it. They're just wiser. Be wise. That's what the Proverbs scream. Be wise. Download it. Son, listen to me. I know stuff. And if we can get and encourage young people to adopt that mindset in our church, I don't think we're going to have any issue recruiting the gray hairs to be willing to download the wisdom and let them speak into their lives. It is in the context of the local church where so much growth happens. And currently in the context of the local church, we're just struggling to communicate. It is not just the world. It is inside of the church. And as Daryl Harrison said to me when I interviewed him for Breaking Bread, do you remember that? We do that series where I'll do meals with really good theologians. And Daryl and I met in Douglasville, Georgia, which didn't make the top 20 cities to live in. Alpharetta was number 9. Douglasville. Real cool little downtown area, train tracks, all of that. We had lunch and we were talking about the critical race theory. And I was asking him the question about how do we do this? How do we actually talk to somebody who is woke? How do you talk to somebody who thinks CRT is maybe good? How do you talk to somebody from the Church of England who is now saying, yes, we're going to give $100 million in reparations because of the slave trade that we were once sort of involved in secondhand centuries ago, which, by the way, was actually rejected. The study group for the Anglican Church said, no, you don't need to invest $100 million to deal with reparations. $1 billion is what's required. How do you talk to somebody like that? And Daryl said something that made me sit back and go, that's gold. And he was ahead of the curve, I think, for all of us. And he said, just don't do it. You can't have these conversations because words, they're packed with all kinds of dynamite. And what sounds good today could be horrible tomorrow. And that's what Neil Shenvey brought out. And that language has changed our attitudes. He said, we can't, there's no quarter for anyone on anything. Because you and I, are we not used to seeing people slip slide away? It's like, oh, there it is. Okay. They think this about Sierra. The next thing you know, they're going to be fully woke. And a lot of times that actually happens. So we hear anybody say anything that maybe isn't perfect jot and tittle for us on CRT or anything else for that matter. And we go, oh, there you go. That's compromise. You're on your way to liberal land. I feel that. I think we all do. Politics, when we talk about universities and education, when we talk about theological issues, I feel that. And I think Daryl and Neil Shenvey also mentioned this in his article, are on the right track. Take it outside of yourself. Just remove it from yourself. You can't keep up with progressive dictionary words that are what? Wait, oh no, no, I didn't mean you. Can, you just can't keep up. Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Open it up. I'm not kidding. Open it up. If you want to have a conversation with somebody about these subjects, hey, we can sit here and chat. But I'll tell you what. Why don't we hear from God, and let's see what He has to say on this subject. And you open it up and you let Him play referee. He is the judge. He is the one who dictates terms. And if we're both agreed to submit to that, well, then one of us will be changing by the time we're done, because God says so. And a failure to submit to His desires, well, that would be sin. Let the Bible do the talking. If you don't, I fear that we are going to have some unnecessary fracturing. There's going to be more fracturing going on in the church, but some unnecessary fracturing. So let's discipline ourselves, all of us. Let us let God speak so that we don't have to. This is Wretched Radio.